This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, June 19th, 2014. The Solemnity of the Body and Blood of Our Lord Jesus Christ, or Corpus Christi, by Father William Doc Holliday.
How can this man give us his flesh to eat? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those words are the words spoken by the Jews. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? This resonates with me because of, prior to my conversion, serving in other ecclesial bodies out there. That was a question I heard. I wish I had a dime for every hour I spent sitting in a pew listening to 45 and 1 hour sermons on why this does not say what it says when our Lord talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And when your eyes are opened by the grace of the Holy Spirit to the truth claims of the church, you kind of step back and say, to deny that is to use the same words that our Lord uses in the gospel here about the Jews. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? I mean, that's the subject matter right here, is this contention over what our Lord is saying. And here I am talking to professing Christians who are preaching a homily or a sermon on the same thing. They're using the words of the Jews. How can he give us his flesh to eat? And I am not going to stand up here today on this August day, a day on which we embrace wholeheartedly and with all our being this source, center, and summit of our faith that is the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. Again, unexplainable. I went there Sunday talking about the Trinity, equated it to the Eucharist, so I don't want to go there today. Today is a day we should just enjoy it. Today is a day when we should behold the Blessed Sacrament, be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and just glory in what he has done for us. The luminous mysteries of the rosary come to fruition. They come to the fore. They become tangible and objective for us. The baptism of our Lord, his condescension to become one of us, to undergo the rituals that we undergo. No sin within him, but he undergoes the ritual washing of John to condescend. The condescension doesn't stop. It continues today, even more profoundly, because he condescended to clothe himself in our flesh, but now he even takes the step down of condescension of putting himself under the forms of simple bread and wine. Simple bread and wine. What he does for us out of his love. The second luminous mystery, the changing of the water into wine at the wedding of Cana, demonstrating to all who watched that, all who beheld, that he is the Creator. He is the one. He has not only sway over our spiritual lives and what we think and providing the Holy Spirit, but he actually can change things in the created order from what they are to something else. We see that on our altars at every single Mass. Bread and wine, no longer bread and wine, but the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. It is a proclamation of the coming of the kingdom. I don't think there's anything that has ever done more to draw people into the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church than that source, center, and summit of our faith, the Eucharist. I mean, you can delve into theology, you can dredge up all kind of philosophy behind the whole thing. You can look at church history. You can appreciate ecclesiology. But the thing that does it for most people is this whole concept of sharing in the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Eucharist does that for us. It proclaims the coming of the kingdom of heaven. The transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, they get to behold the one whom they walk, the one whom they know as Lord, a great teacher, a prophet, that they go up on the mount and behold before their very eyes, they get a little inkling. They don't see him in all the fullness of his deity, but they get enough, just the sliver makes them fall on their faces as if they were dead. The Blessed Sacrament is the transfiguration of not only our Savior under the forms of bread and wine, but it transfigures us. That's why it is the source, center, and summit of our faith, because it continually changes us. Every time you avail yourselves of the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, you are drawn more and more closely to our Lord Jesus Christ. That final luminous mystery, the institution of this sacrament in and of itself. Again, this is where it comes real. It becomes real. We are creatures of sense. We need to experience things. And there is no better way than the pinnacle of what Christ has provided to us in experiencing his very being as a taking divinity within ourselves. Again, the luminous mysteries of the Rosary become a reality for us in the Eucharist. And before we receive the Eucharist, and I'll leave you with this, the words that we say, here we say them three times, for once for each person. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my soul shall be healed. Those words of the centurion who had a sick servant in his house, and he comes to the Lord. Kel tells him the story. Lord said, okay, let's go. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. The Lord looks at him and says, and looks at his disciples actually, and says, I have found no greater faith in Israel than this Gentile, who has enough faith in our Lord that he can do what he says, and he knows who he is before the Lord. I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. And he's speaking about his house, and he's speaking about the God-man. When we say those words, they are much more profound because of the Eucharist. Because when we say those words, we are not speaking, a lot of people could interpret those, the fact that Jesus is here in the church, Lord, I am not worthy. That's not where we're going with that. It's much more profound. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof is speaking of the tabernacle of your body, that tent in which your soul currently resides in this world. That's the tabernacle that we're talking about when we say, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. And when Jesus looked at that centurion and said, no greater faith have I found in Israel, how much more? When we're talking so much more profoundly, is our faith greater than that centurion's? When we have the faith to believe that bread and wine no longer exist, still looks like it, still feels like it, tastes like it, but it's not. It's the true body and blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. And before we receive that, when we say, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, that we are not worthy that you should enter into our very bodies to become one with us. That's what we're talking about. How great a faith is that? How great a faith? That question, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? We don't know. But praise God that he does it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.